My guest at this time is Dr. Tim Ball. He's a former professor of climatology at the University of Winnipeg. He is also the author of numerous books, including The Deliberate Corruption of Climate Science. He joins me today to discuss a new exhaustive study that appears to undermine a key premise of the climate change argument. And Dr. Ball, thanks very much for being with us.
Well, thanks for the opportunity, Greg.
This study comes courtesy of Stockholm University. It was reported in numerous places, but this report is from Agence France-Presse, which reads, quote, predictions of unprecedented rainfall extremes in the 20th century driven by global warming turned out wrong, a study said, casting doubt on methods used to project future trends. A massive trawl of Northern Hemisphere rainfall data for the last 1,200 years revealed there had been more dramatic wet-dry weather extremes in earlier, cooler centuries before humans set off fossil fuel-driven global warming. This is problematic, said a study in the journal Nature, as the same data models used to anticipate that global warming would cause record rainfall extremes in the 1900s are the basis for projections of things to come. The lead author says it might be more difficult than often assumed to project into the future. The truth can be much, much more complicated. So you obviously understand all that better than most of us. How significant is this conclusion?
It's very significant because it's getting a wider attention, but it's not new in that I wrote an article over the years, one last year particularly, about the failure to deal with water and water vapor. As you know, in the greenhouse gases, they list three major greenhouse gases, water vapor, CO2, and methane. They then ignore water vapor. They just say the amount that humans produce is of no significance, so they just assume it's constant. That's a problem. The second problem is that there is inadequate temperature data to build their computer models. Weather data covers only about 25% of the world's surface, so how do you build your models on that? And the answer is you don't. But the data for precipitation is even worse. Measuring rainfall and measuring the water content of snow is some of the most difficult things to do in the weather and climate business. And about 5 years ago, they ran models trying to predict the monsoon in Africa, which, of course, is very critical to plant growth. And they found that half the models predicted that it would get wetter and half predicted it would get drier. And their conclusion was that there weren't enough precipitation data stations to even meet the minimum requirement of the World Meteorological Organization. So the lack of data is the serious problem that supports what these people are finding.
So how much does this affect the overall theory then? If this is a major cog in the climate change explanation coming from the UN and a lot of scientists, if this in fact is not a correct assumption, what does it mean for the rest of the constructed theory?
Well, of course, the constructive theory has been focused only on temperature, and the difficulty with that is what the public are not getting the message often enough is that every single prediction they've made with temperature, starting in 1990, has been wrong. Everyone has been wrong, and one simple word definition of science is prediction. If you can't predict, you haven't got science. And so yet they still are pushing policy through the Paris Agreement based on that. Now, the precipitation data, of course, reaffirms that. But what's more important from the human condition is that temperature variation, yeah, it's an issue, but it has to change quite a bit before it becomes difficult. For example, they talk about a 2 degrees Celsius warming. Well, all you got to do is look at a city that's, just south of you that's 2 degrees warmer, and they get along very nicely, thank you. But when you get precipitation change, that impacts flora and fauna and humans tremendously. And in fact, in the year 2000, they asked 200 climatologists to pick out the 20 worst disasters of the 20th century. And of the 20 they chose, 11 of them were droughts, and 5 of them were flooding. And so the knowledge about precipitation and its impact is actually more important going forward. And when you look at the drought in Texas the last couple of years, the drought in California, and the precipitation patterns, they're far more important, yet they've received virtually no support. And one of the things that I kept pointing out was, they said, oh, well, with global warming, there'll be more more droughts, but that's counterintuitive. Because if you've got warmer temperatures, you've got more evaporation, more water in the air, therefore less droughts. So again, that illustrates how wrong their thinking is, and hopefully this will be just one more nail in the coffin of the great deception that is the global warming deception.
A real quick follow-up on this. Do you think a study like this will largely discredit the assumptions that previously existed, or will this just lead to perhaps more objective analysis of the same issue to see if folks come up with the same results?
Well, what it will lead to is people like me saying, "Yeah, we told you so," in which there's no comfort. But it will lead to what they always do, that is that they will look for some way around the evidence. They'll say, "Oh, this is wrong, that's wrong," or so on, because they've done that every time. You see, they had a hypothesis and they accepted it as proven right from the start. And every time evidence came out that contradicted it, they found ways of blunting that. The classic one, of course, was in 1998, after 1998, when temperatures started to level off, but CO2 continued to rise, which contradicted their basic assumption. Instead of correcting their science, they changed from global warming to climate change. And this is what they constantly do. They try to blunt the evidence, deflect the evidence, because it's not fitting with their political agenda. And of course, that's what is going on here.
You probably won't be surprised, Dr. Ball, to find out that other scientists do not see this as definitive. In the same story, it reads, quote, "This divergence certainly adds fuel to the fiery debate on the link between warming and rainfall extremes." Matthew Kirby of California State University's Department of Geological Sciences wrote in a comment published by Nature. He went on to say, quote, "Do their results invalidate current predictive models? Certainly not, but they do highlight a big challenge for climate modelers and present major research opportunities for both modelers and climate scientists." Another one is James Renwick of the Victoria University of Wellington, who said the predicted wet and dry extremes are very likely to materialize in the 21st century. So he's essentially concluding that they're right, they just haven't happened yet. What's your reaction to that?
Well, the reaction is that, and I hate to be this crass about it, but all these people are being funded in their research by the government. So when you look at with the U.S. government, $70 billion, I think Joanne Nova showed that they've spent on climate change. And, of course, they don't want that well to dry up. One of the interesting things that people should look at is the Australian government took a very interesting tack in what is called reductio ad absurdum, that is reducing to the absurd. In other words, if your position is absurd now, it was absurd to start with. And what the Australian government did was, you're telling us the science is settled, well fine, then we'll cut off all the funding to the research. And of course everybody scrambled, right? Oh no, hold on a minute here. Well, these people, I guarantee you'll find out, are very heavily funded by government in this climate research. And of course you look at Paris and how much money was put into the Green Climate Fund. It's all driven by the money, not by the science and the truth.
Dr. Ball, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you, sir, as always, for your insights.
Thank you, Greg.
Dr. Tim Ball, former professor of climatology at the University of Winnipeg, also the author of numerous books, including The Deliberate Corruption of Climate Science. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.